God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place, and we thank you, God, that we can just surrender our lives, Lord, to you anew. And Lord, that we can give you all the glory, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you that, Lord, that you've already begun to speak to us, Lord, and thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll be faithful, God, to just water the seed of your word. We pray, Lord, that you will have your way fully and completely this morning in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read for us from Isaiah 65, verse 17. If you, maybe in your Bibles or just on the screen, if you could follow with me. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." We've been speaking to one another about expectations. A few weeks ago, I spoke about the fact that we often in our lives, we go through life with unmet expectations because we place those expectations upon people. Then our hearts get hurt. Our hearts grow hard very often. But there's one person who will never disappoint us. One person whose shoulders are broad enough for us. And who desires to be our everything. And we spoke about the fact that God desires for us to put our expectations upon him. Another word for expectation is a hope or a trust or a dream. And we sang about it this morning. To put our expectations on him, our trust upon him. And I believe the Lord is wanting to just continue speaking to us around that about great expectations. About the expectations that the Lord is wanting to stir in our hearts. Because I know that very often as we get towards the end of the year, then it's challenging sometimes to keep the flame of that expectation alive. But it is important to have our expectations rooted in the soil of God's word. To have it rooted in who God is. And here we have a promise from God. A great and a magnificent and a glorious promise that I believe can stir our expectations. He says, "Look, I create new heavens and new earth." As we are in the season of spring already, 2 months, almost three, we see new life all around us. And God wants us to remember that, to see that he is perpetually and continuously creating new things. But here God gives us a twofold promise. And the one is that there will come a day, one day, when everything will be made new. The new heaven and the new earth. All our struggles, all our troubles, all the things we have inside of us, the things we would like to change about ourselves, the things we'd like to change about our emotions, our character, our physical bodies, our environment, all of those things will be wrapped up into the glorious new beginning that the Lord is going to give us. When he will make all things new, new creation, new heaven, and a new earth. At the same time, there's something amazing that happens here. If we read verse 20, it says, "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. No, an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Verse 21, "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit." There's something amazing about this portion of scripture because we see a promise that is twofold. On the one hand, God holds before us the promise of eternity and saying that there's an anchor that I'm wanting to hold before you. An anchor that goes beyond November 2013 and what November 2014 will be like and what it will be like 10 years from now. I'm holding before you an eternal promise of one day my absolute and complete and perfect will for this earth and for your life will be accomplished. That dream that I had in my heart for you, when I made the earth, will be fully and completely established. One day, when I come back to make everything new. That's the one promise on the one level. But it's also holding before us a promise on another level. And that is, even as I'm one day going to complete my work, I'm already busy making things new. I'm already busy
recreating things. I'm already busy shaping things and transforming things. And we see that there's a partnership in this portion of scripture where he says, I will make things new. But there's also something which you will do. In response to me making things new, let's look at what he says. If we go to the first verse, or verse 21, he says, they, God's people, shall build houses. They shall inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. So God creates, he makes new. What do? We build, we inhabit, we plant, we eat. So we see that when God comes in and God begins to do something new, which will one day be consummated at the end of all time, and God comes back and establishes his rule and his reign completely, as he is beginning to make things new in our lives, something gets stirred in our hearts where we begin to build, we begin to plant, we begin to eat, we begin to respond to this newness of life. There's this partnership God is holding before us. The newness of life that God is promising us is not something that is passive on our side. It's not like, oh, God, I'm just now waiting for you to make things new. No, he stirs in us an excitement. He stirs in us a capacity to say, hey, because God is making something new, because I have this hope, I can build. I don't have to say, oh, this world is a terrible place in which to raise kids. I don't have to run away from South Africa or run away from a city or run away from a job, because there is an eternal promise that God is giving me, that the same power that will one day recreate everything, establish everything, is already busy working in me. And that's why I can have a hope to build. I can have a hope to plant. I can have a hope to eat. Do you have a hope to build? Do you have a hope when you look at the ruins of your life to know, but because God is making things new, I don't have to lose heart. Just because I'm third or fourth generation alcoholic, I don't have to lose heart. There's a God that is making things new, and he is enabling me to look at the ruins of my life and say, something beautiful can come forth out of this. But if you don't have an expectation, our little Katie, three or four months, she wakes up with an expectation in her heart, a great expectation every day, that she will be able to go to Jeffro Dihani's school. Jeffro Dihani, she calls it. Dihani Posma. Where's Dihani? Dihani here. Our star. There at the back. She's an absolute legend with kids. And our little girl has this expectation in her heart that today, so when she wakes up, we go to school, we drop off Annika at Logialdenes around the corner. She also takes her little bag. She wants to go to school. She wants to go to Jeffro Dihani. And she's excited and she packs everything in. Today is the day. And then we've got to tell her, no, it's Friday. Four more sleepies. Then you can go like, oh no. She's got this expectation. She can't wait to get to the school. I don't know. I'm sure some of you guys were freaky like that. Even in high school still had that excitement to go to school. But she has this. Those of us who have kids, we know that if we give them a promise too long ahead of time, it just like makes your life torturous. Every day, you've got to answer the question, are we there yet? When are we going on holiday? When are we going to see grandpa and grandma? When are we? But what is that? That's an expectation. That's an expectation that something good is going to come my way. That something exciting has been planned for me. And I can't wait to get there. You have an expectation in your life? Do you have a little bag that you pack every morning? So I can't wait to get there with you, Lord. When are we getting there? But not just like, oh. No, an excitement that carries you in your heart, propels you forward. Interesting, the word create, we see in that first verse, that the word create is used about four times. I create a new heavens. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as rejoicing. Three times the word create is mentioned there. God is doing the creating. And if we look at that word, it's interesting to look at its meaning. It comes from the Greek word kitsu. Again, it means, according to the Strong's concordance, to create, to form, to shape, or to make. To create, to form, to shape, or to make. And it's always in scripture, when the word create is used, when the word kitsu is used, it is always and only used when God is on the scene. When something is created, something is shaped and molded and transformed, not by man's opinion, not by a self-help book, not by a motivational talk, not by I'm turning over a new leaf, but by the God of the universe who creates. It's the word used within the context of the one that brings forth life out of nothing. Ex nihilo, out of nothing God spoke the worlds into existence. And that same power that creates out of nothing something glorious and beautiful is the same power that is busy creating a new heaven and a new earth, busy preparing a house for us, and busy shaping in you His purposes and His plans. Ex nihilo, out of nothing God brings forth life and beauty. But unless I'm mistaken, I'm not speaking to nothingness in front of me. I'm speaking to people with stories, people with experiences, people with life inside of their lungs, in their physical bodies, but also in their spirits. I'm speaking to journeys represented here where you already have experienced a shaping. Amen? A molding. God coming to do something in your life. And I want you to, where are my ushers? Ushers, you guys ready for me? I want you to just take a minute and we're going to hand out something for you. And I want you to sort of keep this with you as we go through the sermon. And I want you to think about kitsu. Create. God is creating a new heavens and a new earth. He is creating something beautiful in you. And that creation is a process. It is something that takes time. It is something that needs a response from us. And we're going to have a look at that as we go through this message. There's a beautiful verse in what? 2 Peter 3. Peter speaks about this and he says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What day? When Jesus comes back and he begins to make things new, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So the things that we see around us will change. It will disappear. And then he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, will disappear, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of God? Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The word looking for, expecting, anticipating, is a sense being evoked by the scriptures. It says that we look forward to what? To the day when things will be made new. To the day that when the things that are holding us back and the things that are militating against God's love and his reign, those things will disappear. He says, looking forward to that. We can hasten the day. Isn't that amazing? Again, think building, planting, eating in response to God making something new. Here he says, I'm making something new. I'm going to make it new one day, but there's response that I would like from you. I would like you to look forward to it. It's like the time when my wife and I were planning the wedding, planning our 7-year wedding vow renewal. It was a day that we looked forward to it with anticipation. I was so excited. On one hand, I was completely freaked out by seeing all the bridal magazines and things my wife has gathered over the years. It's just like I felt completely as if I'm just a missing piece of the puzzle. She's been planning this thing for a while. And then I realized, but hang on a minute, this is actually amazing. She's been thinking about this day. You know, I got my tux the day before or the morning, I can't remember. But she's been planning this and she's been thinking about this and she's been anticipating it. I was just glad to be marrying this woman. I didn't care, you know, where or why, how or what I would look like. I was just in awe. There was an anticipation and excitement. God says, I'm busy creating a day for you when things will be made new. But I would like you to look forward to this day. So my challenge to us before we start talking about expectations for our life in the year and the now is, do you have an expectation about the one day when the new earth and new heaven will be created? Are you looking forward to that day? In other words, is that a dream that you have to one day see Jesus for who he is and to be changed into his image? Or do you just live for the now? Have we grown so busy that we have forgotten the cry of the early believers, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. Do you have that expectation of one day walking into heaven and hearing the Father's voice saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you have an expectation to see the love and the fire and the holiness in his eyes? Do you have something that carries you forward beyond the things in the natural? Or do you fear that day of judgment? Do you fear that separation that will come? Do you fear maybe that I haven't done enough with my life to actually justify standing in the presence of a holy God? And then we're going to pray for you if that is you. Because you do not have to fear that day. That day for you doesn't have to be a day of judgment and condemnation, but a day of rejoicing, of being reunited with your daddy God. He's creating. And he's shaping. I want you to take the clay in your hand. Some of you, most of you have done already. And you would have received it like this. In a shape like this. Quite a few of you have already begun to transform it. into something else. And I want you to sort of continue to do that. Have a look at it. The clay. The amazing capacity that it has to be changed. You can basically make it into anything that you want to as you sit there. Anything that your imagination can dream up, you can make it into. You can shape it. You can mold it. The God of the universe that created everything around us, he's got a pretty incredible imagination. Do you agree? Look at yourself. Look at the person sitting next to you. Fearfully and wonderfully made, God says. The one that dreamed you up, the one that conceived you, must have been a genius. How else could something this awesome be on the face of the earth? Come on, huh? You are the pinnacle of God's creation. Fearfully and wonderfully, he's put you together in your mother's womb. But that physical creation wasn't just a once-off creation. He is still contemplating and dreaming up incredible things for you. Busy molding you and shaping you. Transforming you into the image that he has. The beautiful thing about clay is it doesn't put up a fight, does it? You didn't hear, leave me alone. What the heck are you doing? I want to get out of here. It goes with the pressure that you put on it. It's soft. You take the piece of clay, you leave it outside in the sun for a few hours. You see what happens to that softness. It becomes hard. It becomes resistant. And often we go through our week and we go through our year and we go through life. And we've got words coming against us and experiences come against us that tempt us to become hard. To move away from his hands. To try and change ourselves to mistrust the hands that are busy shaping us and molding us. And we become hard. And I believe the Lord this morning, we had the song coming through. And I just so felt it as well. The fountains of living water. The oil of the Holy Spirit wanting to soften us up this morning. To become soft for him to do with you what he wants to do with you. Are you looking forward for that day? He says, Peter says that looking forward and hastening, I believe that the molding and the shaping process that God is busy with, one day God will have his way. One day everything will be made new. And those who have accepted him will share in that newness of life. And those who haven't will spend eternity away from God. It's the reality. But God's desire is for, as the scripture says, God's desire, while he is delaying the ultimate new day is because it is for the purpose of salvation. You want as many of the sons and daughters that he has created to be shaped into his image, to share in his joy, to come home. That's why he's delaying his coming. But I believe that the process of creation that is continuing on a day-to-day process, we can either resist it or we can hasten it. Just as we can hasten the day of the Lord's coming by telling people about his love, by getting to the ends of the earth, taking the gospel to the farthest reaches of the earth to hasten the day of his coming, we can hasten the day of God's shaping of his purpose in our lives. We can hasten it, or we can slow it down. Are you hastening the process of creation that he's busy with in your life? Are you, as a piece of clay, making sure that you stay within the oil of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, so where you are soft? Or have you become hard, delaying the newness that God is wanting to bring into your life? I believe that as we go into the holidays, November is almost at an end, December, January. Traditionally, January is one of my busiest months as a pastor. People come back from holiday. And you would think most people would come back amazingly excited, refreshed, rejuvenated, just so excited about the year. Mostly, and that's only the people that come to me, obviously, I found that the holidays lead to a moving away from the hands of God. Leads to us spending a little bit less time in the Word of God. Us giving a little bit less than we normally do in the rest of the year. Spending a little bit less time in prayer. Isolating ourselves a little bit more from the fellowship of believers. Becoming a little bit less accountable in terms of sexual integrity than other parts of the year. And I've got to do a lot of counseling and picking up the pieces and say, come on. God is still with you, not against you. You don't have to be defined by those 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You can't remember what happened, or you put yourself into debt, or you went home and you had aspirations and things just went wrong. I believe that the Lord is holding before us, wanting to say to us, December 2014, allow me to do the new thing in you that I want to do. But in order for you to do that, you need to hasten that process. And you need to position yourself. And so I want to get practical and speak to us about how we can hasten the process of creation that the Lord is busy with in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says the following, and we all know it very well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I believe the first sort of new creation the Lord is wanting to bring before us again is the new creation inside of us. That each one of us, as we're sitting here, God is busy doing something within you. Forget for a moment about the stuff that he has to do still outside of you. But inside of you, he is doing something new. Inside of you, he's recreating. And that recreation starts with being born again. Each one of us, as we're sitting here, didn't drop out of Mars, didn't just supernaturally appear. There was a day when your life started physically. You celebrate your birthdays. We celebrate our anniversary. Three people here, and you've not had your birthday celebrated. The end, I'm going to make an invitation. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to celebrate you and just release a spirit of celebration over you, because you carry this thing in your heart. You're not even worth anybody organizing a party for you. Jesus is busy preparing a massive party for you. And he wants to stir an expectation in your heart for that. But there's a new creation that the Lord is holding in front of us for one day. But He's also holding before us a new creation for now inside of us. He's busy creating new things, making things new, old things passing away. All things have become new. It says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He makes us new by pulling us close to Him. Your sin, your anger, your disappointment, none of those things can keep you from God. He has made a bridge for you. That bridge is called the cross of Jesus Christ. We sang about it. How is your expectation of the newness in your heart? How is your expectation about God coming to recreate things and change you? Not you changing yourself, but God changing you. When you're saved 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, you live with that awareness. When it's been 5 years, 15 years, I've discovered you have to hold that hope before you again. That all things have become new. That there is something new inside of you, uncontaminated by your experiences. And that is called the new creation, your spirit that has been born again. The breath of God that He has breathed into you. So I want to ask you, are you going to look after that new creation over the holiday? Are you going to culture it? Are you going to treasure it? Are you going to make time for it? And there are a few practical ways in which we can do that. And I went shopping a little bit in this week. I want to recommend a few resources for you. I'm going to have it at the info table. And you guys can have a look at it and maybe buy it as well. The one is called Crazy Love, Overwhelmed by Relentless God by Francis Chan. A book that has just absolutely impacted my heart so much. And he speaks about the God of love pursuing us. The new creation that's taking place inside of you is because God has initiated it. And He's coming after your heart. And He's making all things new. You can delay it or you can hasten it. And we hasten it by spending time in His presence, meditating upon the scriptures. There's some awesome scriptures in here, awesome stories about how God comes and His love changes us. Maybe you need to go on a little bit of a newspaper fast or a television fast. Get some good stuff into your heart. Another book I want to recommend to you is a book by Bill Hybels. It's called The Power of a Whisper. And he speaks about hearing the whispers of God. When God comes into our lives and He whispers. Very rarely does He come and thunders into our lives, our purpose and our destiny. He can do it, but very rarely. Mostly He whispers into your spirit. And from a very young age, we have got to cultivate our ability to respond to that whisper. And He gives us some very practical tools, and He shares incredible stories out of His own life. But how His grade 2 teacher encouraged him to be like Samuel. And when you think the Lord is speaking to you, simply to respond and say, "Here I am, Lord. Your servant listens." I want to encourage you to pray that prayer as you go into your holidays. Whether you're by the beach, up on the mountain, or next to your veld fire in the Vultain, "Here I am, Lord. Speak to me. Your servant listens." If we don't cultivate our ability to listen to the whispers of God, it's very easy to be intimidated, pulled along by the thunderings of this world. Christmas bells going off all over the place, saying to you, "Buy, buy, buy, buy. Buy." And yet the whisper of God will be saying to you, "Give, give, give." The new creation inside of you. You're going to cultivate it. You're going to nurture it. You're going to hasten what the Lord is doing in your heart. I don't know how many of you got into fights around whose daddy is the strongest. My daddy can move a building. My daddy can do push-ups and the earth moves. My daddy is the strongest. Chuck Norris gets nightmares about my dad. Scott Berger dreams that one day when he's big, he'll be like my dad. Have you played those games? What does your daddy do? What does your daddy do? He shapes you. He molds you. Your daddy is a potter. Isaiah 64 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And all we are, the work of your hand." You're the masterpiece God is busy creating and shaping. Keep your heart soft over these holidays for Him to come and shape you and mold you. Some of you might be working through it. If you don't take holiday, this message is also for you. Keep it soft. He's the potter. We are the clay. And maybe as you're holding that clay in your hand, you need to just reflect on the fact that when God holds you, He feels you. He isn't distant from you. He's not abracadabra from a distance. Be changed. Zap. Zzz. What happened? I've been zapped by God now. His hands mold you. There's an intimate relationship between the potter and the clay. You try and shape that clay without your hands. You try and change it without your hands. It's quite tough. And Father God's got the desire. I used to sing the song, hear it often, knew the verse, "I'm the clay, He's the potter." You know what I missed? The previous bit, that He's my Father. Because if you just see God as a potter, you can see Him as someone who will come and shape you and make you and mold you, even if He breaks you, because His purpose is simply to just have His way with you. He's a father potter. And a father works gently with his sons, disciplines them in love, because he loves them, encourages them, molds them and shapes them, stands back and say, "Wahaha, bone of my bone, you are a reflection of me." The potter that's busy working in your life is your daddy. He's molding you out of an act of love. Don't resist him. Keep your heart soft. Some of you have got to come back. You've got to say, "Father, forgive me for resisting your work. Forgive the mistrust in my heart towards you, that you were going to break me. You're going to shatter me." It's busy molding you, shaping you. The new creation within us, Ezekiel 36, 26, says it so beautifully. It says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." Again, he's talking about inside of you. "I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you." So when I'm saying to you, look after the new creation inside of you, I'm also asking you, how good a steward are you over the Spirit of God, over the newness, the treasure that God has placed in your heart? Or are you allowing the devil to lie to you? Are you speaking negative things against that new creation? Are you criticizing that new creation? That God is, "I'm putting it inside of you. A new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Do you know what I see? I see a new heart and the Spirit of God going hand in hand. I see a soft heart and the Spirit of God going hand in hand. So I'm going to ask us that as we go into the latter part of this year and we look at the new creation inside of us, we need to look at that and say, "Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, shape me. Maybe I've got a good relationship with Daddy God and with Jesus, but I'm still wary of the Holy Spirit. You've got a Holy Spirit. I understand. I will forever only know Jesus in part. A little bit. Be limited in what my mind can figure out about Him outside of you. I cannot get close to the Father unless the Spirit draws me." The kids, when they leave for kids' church, it's a moment of holy chaos. I don't know whether you've noticed, but Trevor's got a rope. Do you see that? He's got a rope, and then the kids hold onto this rope, and then they walk to the children's church venue. He's holding onto this rope, and he takes them where they need to be. Some of us are experience our relationship with God like this tow track. What's tow track in English? tug of war with God. You're digging in your heels. And he's gentle. And he will wait for you. But hasten the day. Hasten the day of what he's busy creating in you. Say, Jesus, I want to walk on my toes. Lead me into this next month. You can do more within a month than you can do in 10 years of striving. Let it go. The new creation within you. So how do you look after the new creation within you? You heal to the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, he is my mouth. So speaking in tongues is so powerful because it takes you into the realm of letting go of control. Don't know what I'm saying. I sound like an idiot. You let go. You surrender to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, here's my mouth. And in moments when you don't feel like a new creation, he comes and he strengthens your spirit. And say, you are new, my son. Not limited by your mistakes. You are new. A second way of looking after the new creation inside of you is by making sure that you stay rooted and grounded in the word. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I see in this verse that there's another key for us to hasten the process of transformation. What is that key? The key is renewing our minds according to the will of God. Renewing your mind. Be transformed. Not conformed on the outside. Conformation talks about dressing the same, talking the same, walking the same. The superficial things. It's conformation. You conform to something. Transformation speaks about the thing that starts in your heart and works its way out. Starts on the inside. It's only the word that has the power to change you from the inside out. I came across this incredible resource. You're not going to believe this. The Portable Seminary. A master's level overview in one volume. Some of you going on holiday, I want to recommend this to you. I'm serious. You'll study in the surveys of the Old and New Testaments, looking at it book by book, looking at its background, looking at its cultural context, looking at its relevance for us today. You look at biblical languages, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. You look at church history, the incredible men and women that surrendered their lives to God, allowed God to shape them and mold them and their circumstances, men and women like you and me. You look at world missions and how the world has changed through missions and how it's being changed and the great work still to be done through missions. You look at ethics and how does that impact the way that I work, and the way that I relate to my colleagues, and to meds and all sorts of things like that, and to movies. You look at Christian education and more. Norman Geisler, John Stott, people have shaped and molded our theological thinking. It's an incredible, incredible resource. Nice beach reading. Get it. Don't leave this room. Don't go on holiday without it. If you've got a hunger for the word of God, if you struggle to understand the word, what the ox do, oxen have to do with my life? It speaks about typologies and pictures and how it's relevant to us. $89. $89. It's a treasure. Keep your heart soft by digging into the Word of God. You've got to know what the Master Potter is busy with. What is he doing? Where do you fit into the bigger scheme of things? You're not a blob. You're not just some little fish swimming around somewhere trying to survive. You're part of something amazing and glorious. Get the book. Do yourself a favor. Have I said get the book? Yeah. So he's given us the word to preach it, sing it, declare it, write it, dance it. Make it big. Make it glorious. The new creation ahead of us speaks about the day when God will make all things new. The new creation within us speaks about these days when God is busy making all things new in our lives. And then there's a new creation through us. It's the last one I want to have a look at quickly. The new creation through us. And I believe that God, over these next little few weeks and months, wants to put an emphasis on all three of them. Paul continues and he speaks in Ephesians. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. You've been made new through faith in God's grace, not in your own efforts. It's not of yourselves." Remember the first verse we read, "I am creating, I will create, I will make new." It starts with God. Your journey starts with God, not with yourself. Annika can't understand why she wasn't at our wedding. The first wedding, baby, we had to come together first before you could be there. You can only love God because He initiated it. It wasn't your idea. You didn't choose God. He was at the beginning, and He's the beginning of your life. Rest in that. You are a result of God's love for you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you cannot earn your way into God's love. You cannot. It doesn't matter how good you are. You don't have to wrestle around that concept. In verse 10, we are His workmanship. We are being shaped by Him. That clay being shaped for a purpose, He says. I love you, bundle of clay. But I'm not just going to have fun with you, throw you up against the roof and see if you get stuck there. I am creating you. You are my workmanship. You are my work of art. Created, kitsu, formed, shaped, molded, transformed in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I believe that there is a great expectation the Lord is wanting to stir in our hearts that, hey, I'm being shaped for a purpose. I'm being shaped for something amazing. And that something amazing can start today. He's working through us. Not just holding expectation ahead of us one day. Not just saying, okay, focus on you being changed now on the inside. But saying, hey, you can actually change the world around you. You can shape and mold your circumstances and your environment through my power. There are incredible movies coming out on the big screen. And I know many of us will spend a good few hours watching. And please do. But I want to recommend a movie for you. It's called Amazing Grace. How many of you guys have seen it? Just quite a few of us, about 40%. This is essential viewing for any believer. Amazing Grace. Your revelation of the grace of God will flow over into the way you live. William Wilberforce spent about 43 years of his life fighting for the abolition of slavery. 40 years. At the beginning of his political career, he had an encounter with God, changed his life, and so he had to contemplate, is he going to go into the ministry or is he going to go into politics? And then his good friend, William Pitt, that became prime minister later on, asked him, are you going to use your beautiful voice? Because he had a beautiful voice, he could sing as well. And away with words. And he asked him, are you going to use your beautiful voice to worship God or to change the world? And it left a struggle inside of him. Am I supposed to be worshiping God? Am I supposed to be preaching the word or isolating myself and go to monastery and commit my life to solitude? Or am I supposed to be going into politics? And a friend came to him and said to him, John Newton, former slave trader, thousands of slaves that he transported across the oceans. Thousands that died underneath his hand. The same John Newton that wrote Amazing Grace. Saved a wretch like me. Challenged him and said to him, why not do both? Why not worship God and change the world? Because worship is changing the world. Worship is being where God has planted you and being everything He's designed you to be in commerce, economics, journalism, the arts, changing the world where you're at. Shall I worship God or change the world? I believe we can do both. So I want to encourage you, sink your teeth into the story. See the determination, see the power of friendship, see the power of a dream, see the power of amazing grace transforming not just one person's life, not just a group of friends' lives, but transforming an entire nation. I, for one, a descendant of slaves, am thankful to William Wilberforce for being faithful. So our country was impacted by the Abolition of Slavery Act. Prevented any more slaves from being taken, slaves eventually being freed in this nation. One man made a difference to my life. Thousands of lives. 29 Rand. It's at the info table. Get it. I'm talking about keeping your heart soft for the new creation that God is wanting to do through you. Exposing yourself to the oil of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I don't have to be resistant to what God is doing. He can change me. How many of you guys have got teams working underneath you? You in some sort of management position, team leader? Just quick raise of hands. Okay. I want to recommend a book to you. The five love languages of appreciation in the workplace. The five love languages of appreciation in the workplace. What am I talking about? I'm talking about taking the things that we know in theory. The love languages of people, how people are different and people need different ways of approaching them. If you want to motivate someone, you want to grow with them. If you've got a dream in your heart for the company you work in that's about more than the money you can make out of that company, then you need to get that book. And if you do not have that dream, then you especially need to get that book. Because the God who's making all things new, reconciling the world to Him, guess by whom He's reconciling the world to Him? Us. He's reconciling your company, your workplace, your neighborhood to Himself. How? Through us. So how about taking the love languages that we do in marriage prep and we keep between husband and wife, taking that into our workplace? How about that? So this book speaks about just getting into a place where you can encourage people, not just because of the budget or what you can get out of them, words of affirmation. Quality time, acts of service, tangible gifts, physical touch. Read with caution. Do you believe love can work anywhere? Do you live like love can work anywhere? Does it work in church and in a small group? And then at work, I'm just the guy doing what I need to be doing. Or is there a greater awareness that God is busy creating something new? Something new. And He wants to do it through me. So there's a new creation ahead of us. One day God is making all things new. You have that hope. When things don't go well around you, you need to have that hope. Because 53 years of marriage, 54 years of marriage says sometimes life gets tough. Then you need to have a hope that I don't see how we can change maybe right now. I don't see how I can change right now. But I know that one day everything will be cleared out. One day all the misunderstandings will be removed. One day we will see clearly. One day everything will be the way it's supposed to be. You need to have that. You need to have the awareness that you're not just stumbling through life, but that there's a new creation inside of you that God is busy shaping and molding and transforming. And you need to be aware of the fact that not only does God want to have the hope of one day ahead of you, the hope of God is changing you right now, but He also wants to have ahead of you the hope that He's changing the world through you. Open yourself up to that. My last scripture for us, Isaiah 65 verse 17, the first one we read. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice, forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and a people, a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. You know what? For years, I've been around people saying, God is busy with something. I just don't know what it is, but it must be something amazing. It must be something awesome. And now it's going tough, but God is working, and it's going tough, and God is busy working. And I'm like, okay, where's the joy in God working? One of the greatest moments when God is doing something in our lives, when we go and we fast, we surrender our lives to the Lord. We say, God, I'm going to fast from television, fast from my most basic need of having food. You know what Jesus says? When you go through that moment of intense transformation, because your body changes when you fast, your mind changes. You know what he says? In one word, rejoice. There's a direct correlation between God creating something new, continuing that work of newness, and our rejoicing. You see that? It says he creates, we are glad and rejoices. I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and a people of joy. You know what? You are God's song. You are his source of joy. He creates you as a joyous creation. It's like, oh, I'm getting a migraine just thinking of Henry. No. I'm creating him as a joy. And I believe the Lord is one to stir our hearts. When you sense God working, somebody brought the word, I think it was Ian. God wants to reveal his heart to us, but he also needs us to reveal our hearts to him and say to him, God, I sense you working, and I'm not going to take it upon myself as, oh, it's my cross and I've got to take up my cross. I'm going to trust you, Daddy. And because I trust you, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad because you are busy with something amazing, something incredible, something spectacular. It's going to blow everybody's expectations out of the water. Any dream anybody has ever had of your life is too small. God's dream and his expectation of you is tremendous. It's great. It's been born in eternity. It's being fulfilled right now. So how's your rejoicing? I want to hold before us that if we lose our joy, there's a very good chance that we have lost sight of what God is doing. Either eternally, internally, or outwardly. And maybe this morning you've lost your joy and you've got to go and look, how's my eternal perspective? How's my inward perspective? How's my outward perspective? How's my expectation in those three levels? So can you stand with me? And I want to hold this before you just as an invitation. I want you to take that piece of clay and I want you to look at those three areas of your expectations. The eternal one ahead of you. The internal one inside of you. The outward one working through you. And if you have lost your expectation, you have lost your hope, if you have lost sight of eternity, in other words, there isn't an excitement when you're in the presence of God of seeing Jesus, of getting to heaven. You've sort of lost that a long time ago. Maybe you're afraid of that. And I want you to take that piece of clay and say, this is my expectation of the future. And God, it is dead. God, I don't have it. God has been squashed in the busyness of life, the heartache and the pain and the frustration. But I'm asking you to resurrect it. The creation story, the kitsu of God creating life, speaks about Adam being a piece of clay. And God coming. Became a living soul. And I believe the Holy Spirit this morning is wanting to blow some of our expectations. But you've got to say to him, God, I'm dead in this area. Or, God, I'm tired in this area. So whether it's eternal hope, whether it's internal, you've just been struggling with addictions, with a temper, you've been struggling with just shame, and you don't feel new, you've got to say to God, God, I feel secondhand. I feel used. I feel like a wreck along the side of the road. I need you to come and breathe upon me my hope that you make all things new. Maybe you've just been a spectator in your workplace, or in your family. And you've lost your hope that God wants to use you. You've got to say to God, God, I refuse to just take up space. Breathe upon me an expectation again. You want to change the world, not just through the preacher, not just through the amazing guy with the amazing car and the amazing degree and the amazing wife, amazing kids who have everything sorted out. And guess what? Nobody's got everything sorted out. But you want to change the world through me. I am a world changer because of your spirit inside of me.